you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 1 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 5. Luke 1 and 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that has already been done this morning to help prepare us for this special season, this Advent. Indeed, because of your great love for us, we have hope. In the Old Testament, the hope was that you had made promises and that you would keep them. The prophets spoke, details shared, so that the world would know when Messiah came. Now, Father, we stand on this side of the cross. You sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus, the God-man, who could bear the sins of the world, pay the penalty that separates us from you so that we might be your children. And as the Old Testament looked forward in hope to the coming of the Messiah, we look with hope toward the sure and certain return of our Savior. As Kaylee reminded us in her song, we believe that one day, all the ugliness, all the sinfulness, the war, the poverty, the hunger that surrounds us will one day be gone when your Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, rules our world. and it is all because, only because, you loved us. The great God Almighty loved his creation enough to heal the fracture that sin created through the birth, life, death, resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. We have gathered this morning, Father, to begin this season of celebrating his birth. May we, as your children, keep the focus on Jesus. And be a light shining to the world around us that has come to believe that Christmas is everything but the birth of a Savior. Thank you, Father, for your word. Shine a light on this portion that we have chosen for this morning to begin this season. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By the time we open up our New Testaments and read the Gospels, it's been 400 years since God has spoken to the nation of Israel. Now, a lot has happened in between. It doesn't mean that God has been silent. It doesn't mean that God hasn't spoken individually to men and women who kept alive the hope of the coming Messiah. And while they were a minority, there were some who were looking for Jesus. There were some who had read Daniel and knew that it was time. Oh, they couldn't know the day, but they knew it was getting close. But God had not raised up a prophet to speak to the nation since Malachi. The silence is about to be broken in the form of two birth announcements as God shares with Israel the coming of the Messiah. Now, it will be about 30 years before the significance is revealed to Israel. But again, if they were listening to what God had already said, it would become clear. The first birth announcement, well, that's John. The first part of verse 15 says, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, he's going to be a unique man. He's going to be born to a couple that we're absolutely sure they weren't going to have children. And Luke is very clear here in his description of them, because there were many who just automatically assumed that a childless couple was under some divine discipline. They had not been blessed of God with children. And Luke makes it very clear that's not what's going on here at all. These were godly people in service to God. They just hadn't had children yet. But they were going to have a child, a son, and his name would be John. Which, by the way, in Greek means, you've got to be kidding me. No, not really. What joy and what happiness. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's going to be unique. He is going to, right from the start, be a Nazarite. He will be raised and he will live as one truly unique. God said that in the Old Testament, from time to time, I'm going to take individuals and I'm going to use them in a special way. And for that special effort, I want them to live uniquely. I want so that they're focused completely on me. Now, that was almost always temporary and for a particular task. Two exceptions. One, oddly enough, was a fellow by the name of Samson. He didn't turn out real well, although God used him. And the other was Samuel. Also, didn't expect him. But God said, sure, and sent this baby boy. And right from the start, he would live uniquely and in service to God. And that's exactly what Luke is describing about this baby boy. When he is born, right from the start, think of him as set aside for a special work. The last part of verse 15 says he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Now again, a careful reading of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon men and women, usually, and in fact, the only evidence that we have, you know, where it's clearly mentioned, temporary for a specific purpose. Two craftsmen that were involved in the building of the tabernacle were filled with the Spirit so that as they directed all the parts and pieces for that tabernacle, they were filled with God's Holy Spirit so that each piece was done exactly as God wanted it done for the purpose with which He had designed it. But this little one, John, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even in his mother's womb. What does that suggest to you about when life begins? It also helps us understand when later in this story, Mary meets Elizabeth, and both of those babies, secure in their mother's womb, filled with the Holy Spirit, one being very God Himself, recognize each other. And John knows he's in the presence of God Himself. So he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in verses 16 and 17, we're told that he will turn many back to the Lord. First part of verse 17 says he will represent, his ministry will be in the spirit and power of Elijah. John is not Elijah. But later, Jesus will tell his disciples that John perfectly fulfilled this prophecy that one like Elijah would come. And he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, both of whom were known for a bold, uncompromising stand for the Word of God. Even in the face of a ruthless monarch. For Samuel, it was a guy by the name of Ahab. And this was one of those situations where it wasn't a good thing to be on the wrong side of Ahab, but it was even worse when you were on the wrong side of Ahab's wife. There's a reason why we don't name our daughters Jezebel. But Samuel stood up to both of them, representing God Himself. John will be imprisoned and lose his life because he refused to compromise when he had an opportunity to confront Herod. In the spirit and power of Elijah. And he will come so that he might be involved in preparing the people for the Lord, that they might be prepared for the Lord. Last part of verse 17. To prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of their Messiah. As John would grow and mature and study God's Word, understand what God had already said, understand what God was saying to him now, he knew the Messiah was on the way. He will be the one who will point to Jesus. But exactly when? Didn't know. So John's kind of an odd character. He's down there in an area where people live very simply. The description of him in very rough clothing and eating locust and honey and all of that seems kind of odd. But that was the community that he lived in, and that was the culture and the simplicity of his life, because again, everything was focused upon prepare yourselves. The Messiah is coming. The Christ is coming. Get ready. And he invited them into the waters of baptism to demonstrate the fact that they wanted to be ready for when the Christ came. He would prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of their Messiah. At this birth announcement, it is clear that God is about to raise up another great prophet, John. He will call all who will listen to repentance. He will be the first to point to Jesus and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. Thank you for John. One more evidence that you make and keep promises. You said one would come, and he did. He knew one was coming. Jesus did. You are the God who makes and keeps promises, and we are beginning a season when we, as your church, celebrate that simple truth. You make and keep promises. And because you do, and that has been reflected in this simple truth that you love us, Jesus was born and died for us, so that as a result of your grace, we can respond by faith to the finished work of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.